Subway will run at 7 p.m. The last buses will run at 9 p.m. They'll remain closed until further notice after the storm passes.
If you're trying to get to Manhattan, forget about it. You can't get a plane, a train, or an automobile in. Really, seriously, it's almost that bad. Sandy is packing a punch, and nobody wants to risk it. Anxiety is high in the Northeast, and I'm talking up and down the coast. You heard Mayor Bloomberg there. That's what he was talking about. As of 7 o'clock on Sunday evening, forget about transportation, the subways, all that sort of stuff. Buses are closed. Anything you can possibly think of. Wall Street is down. Oh, boo-hoo. The banks, etc. The folks in Washington will be getting a day off, and school students, too. At least 2 million school students have off.
What, are you kidding me?
I never got those days when I was a kid. The president signed emergency declarations across the board, you name it, and anywhere you can think of on the East Coast, they are very, very concerned. What happened is Sandy got a lot of strength, strengthened actually to a hurricane, officially on Saturday morning after weakening overnight. It's a Cat 1 hurricane with winds of 75 miles an hour. North Carolina declared a state of emergency in 40 counties. 29 Haitians died because of the hurricane. And, you know, here we go again with what happens in Haiti. The death toll in the Caribbean is 45 because 16 people were reportedly killed in Cuba, Jamaica, Panama, the Dominican Republic, and Puerto Rico combined. That's what we're looking at so far. New Jersey's governor, Chris Christie, declared a state of emergency throughout the state because of the weather conditions. Like I said, you name it, and it's probably happened. Kate Delaney, by the way, America Tonight, the name of this show. If you are in the center of the storm, let me know what's happening in your neck of the woods. I've gotten a lot of emails, and we will get to that at the tail end of this hour from so many of you who are in these situations now looking for generators, flashlights, water, batteries, all that kind of stuff, supplies that you need out, supplies that are running out in the Northeast, supplies that you can't get. I mean, there's a breakdown in that because people have run to the places like the Home Depots, the Lowe's, the grocery stores, and have gotten everything that they can possibly get, and the stocks have run out. This just raises that red flag in your life, I hope, this caution that it can happen to you. Even when you think it can't, it can. So if you get emergency prepared ahead of time, then you don't have to panic because you're already at least halfway there with some of the basic things that you need in case something happens. I've told the story before. It's happened to me. I know. I have walked in the shoes of it's not going to happen, and then it did. And didn't have flashlights, didn't have generators, didn't have water. Luckily, had great neighbors, but really made a situation much more difficult than it had to be in a terrible storm because we weren't ready for something to happen. We just didn't think it was going to happen to us. And all of us know that Mother Nature can just pick and choose what's going to happen with the right weather patterns, whether we're talking about tornadoes or earthquakes or hurricanes or floods or fires or mudslides. I mean, you name it. It's the lazy Susan of disasters. Just spin the wheel. And you may have been a victim of several of these different things. And once you are, then you learn. But hopefully some of you are maybe not in these areas or are taking a look at what's going on here and just reminding yourself to take steps so that you don't end up like that. I'll tell you what happened to me quickly. There was a terrible nor'easter a couple of, it's been probably 8 years. I mean, that slammed into New York, New Jersey, a lot of areas on the East Coast. And I mean, it was unbelievable. You weren't going anywhere. I did try to dig out of the snow ahead of time and shovel and all that other sort of stuff and get to the store to get food. But I'm telling you, it was like a fist fight for the last piece of meat. in the Acme Market was the name of the market. It was crazy. People were yelling, screaming, because everything that you could imagine that you would need was gone. I mean, everything was pilfered, except for things that you wouldn't be able to get to if the power went out. Because who cares if you have frozen meals that are wilting in the refrigerator and you have no power? How are you eating those? You know, the answer is you're not. So all the supplies that you would need were gone. Water, totally out. Water, gone. So the obvious things, the water, the flashlights, even candles, for goodness sake, anything that you can think of that you might need. Smart to put that bag together. So some people were lucky enough to either have the stuff in their house or get it before it was all out. A lot of boarded up houses in North Carolina. A lot of people trying to get ahead of this storm before they're completely devastated, because you heard the mayor, there's not any kind of transportation. So think about trying to get around in this. You have the state of emergencies. I've mentioned New Jersey, Governor Christie. So New York, D.C., Massachusetts, Maryland, New Jersey, Connecticut. In low-lying areas in New York, they've evacuated close to 400,000 people. And federal offices are absolutely shut down. Classes are absolutely canceled. So there's nothing going on. Now you think, what about the campaign? Governor Romney was supposed to campaign in Virginia. He flipped that around, went to Ohio with Paul Ryan instead, you know, realizing that there's no way we're going to go there, because think of what's going to happen with the people. Where is your focus? And if it does become a major disaster, you have people that are going to be trying to get their power back on. You're going to have power lines, obviously, downed all over the place, houses torn up, and days, maybe weeks of people dealing with this. So the first thing is scrambling to rearrange schedules and try to figure out where you can go when you're supposed to go and visit certain areas for, like, Romney and for the president, too, because he's going to have the same problem. North Carolina and Maryland, in the right there in the path, think about the early voting, which in those areas have benefited, especially Maryland, Democrats. So canceling early voting, that's what the governor did there. Martin O'Malley, who is Maryland's Democratic governor, said, you know, we can't have voting in this state. We can't do that. He didn't mean we can't have voting in the state. He meant early voting on Monday when we have this storm to contend with. In Delaware, New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, people have the option of voting early, but by mail. And in Virginia, the governor there is insisting that they're going to try to do whatever they can to allow people to vote early. And if they want to vote early, we know November 6th is right around the corner, and Virginia offers early absentee voting, but only with an excuse, unlike other states that aren't as restrictive. But they do have early voting, meaning you have to go to the polls. So the storm is going to wreak havoc on Virginia. And Virginia has a Republican governor who knows that, and he's saying he's going to take anything, any measure he can to ensure people can vote despite all these obstacles. Meet you on the flip side.
Preparedness is simple when you have the right stuff. And with the looming threat of economic collapse and possible service interruption, it's time to get the best-in-class preparedness stuff at DisasterStuff.com. DisasterStuff.com has been serving smart preppers for over 15 years with quality products like Berkey water filters. DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. And as always, free shipping on all Berkey products. Stock up on water barrels and accessories. Get Country Living or Wonder Mill grain mills, Excalibur food dehydrators, Hattler reusable canning lids, Sun Oven solar cookers, EMP bags to protect sensitive electronics, and don't be without your Life Straw personal water filter, all from DisasterStuff.com. preparedness is simple. With the right stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
What the sounds were like of heavy rain from Hurricane Sandy. Kate Delaney hanging with you at our makeshift weather center. Seriously, you know, for a brief time, for just a couple of months, I did weather in my career. Of course, I was in a place called Kearney, Nebraska, and we weren't talking about hurricanes there. They were more concerned about tornadoes, but high winds and wind damage, and I saw what that can be like. And that's the thing with hurricanes, too. The wind damage is what can be so scary. I've heard a lot of places the gasoline prices, or not the gasoline prices, the gas is out, done, because people lined up to gas up. And you got to think, as Cop pointed out to me, and he's right, refineries are going to be shut down. We know what that means. The electricity is going to be a big problem when the power lines go down. So, you know, people scramble and they try to do what they can, but it depends about how many places are shut down on the grid. This could be just awful. And if it hits, if it is the kind of catastrophe that it's being billed as. So, in other words, you look at the Weather Channel, which I'm looking at right now. I've had it on all day long. I'm actually watching the last train coming out of New York City. If it's as bad as they say, that big of a menace, a monster to the Northeast, you also got to think the damage it leaves in its wake, the people trying to clean up or get their lives back together for whatever devastation there is. You know, it depends on a scale of 1 to 10. What are people expecting? I'm in my mind, and I hope this does not happen, but I'm thinking of like a Hurricane Andrew and what happened what happened there, how devastating that was to Southern Florida. Trust me, nobody in Miami, Southern Florida, they weren't worried about voting if it was during an election. If it was during an election and close to November 6th, they weren't going to be worried about that. And that's what I'm saying, I guess. You think of what a bomb is, and the bomb going off, meaning this hurricane. And if it's that big of a disaster, depending on, you know, how high the winds are and what kind of devastation and that kind of stuff, it really could. It's definitely going to play some part in messing with the election, but it could be even more devastating because, frankly, even the person most attuned to what's happening politically, and I say this all the time, it's wrong for people in this country not to vote because I've seen what it's like for other people who are forced to vote a certain way. I mentioned the elections in Chihuahua when I was covering the pre and the panista parties and watching the stuffing of the ballot boxes and how you had no choice but to vote for whoever they wanted you to vote for, or the results for you would not be good. But if you're, for goodness sake, if you're pulling up planks and trying to get rid of a flood and trying to get an insurance person out and trying to clean up and get your life back on track, you know, that's not going to be the number one priority. Even if your entire life you voted, it would be pretty tough for people, I think, to get to the polls. So I'm thinking even a week ahead of time, you figure it rolls in Monday, Tuesday, you got a week. This is nasty, nasty stuff. And who knows? You know, the polls are not predicting any outcome here. We know it's a very narrow margin that we're talking about. The latest CNN poll, Obama has 50%, Romney 46% in Ohio. We know the margin of error is just right in there. And, I mean, I could pull any poll out of the sky and tell you just how close it is. And almost every single one of the polls are close, too close to call. So this massive hurricane slamming down, bearing down on the East Coast could have a little bit of a grip on the presidential campaign. Well, all the campaigns. You know, you still have Senate seats up for grabs. Think of the one in Massachusetts. The House seats, some governorships are up too. So all of this, you know, forget whatever the last-minute maneuvering was going to be. They just got to throw that out and do something completely different. You have to go and do something else. The campaign plans for a lot of people that were out there will definitely change. Think of Connecticut and the Senate race there. Linda McMahon starting to really make some headway against her popular Democratic opponent in a Democratic-leaning state. So whatever the last-minute maneuver was going to be there probably has to be changed depending on what happens in the great state of, you know, Connecticut. For the president, he has to scrap his plans in Ohio because of what could happen in the East Coast. In fact, his press secretary said as much, that the president has to be at the White House following what's going on in Orlando on Sunday because he's got to monitor the hurricane and where it's going to hit on the East Coast and what's going to happen. So instead, they bring in replacement players. Like there was an event that was in Youngstown, Ohio. They'll have to have President Clinton and Vice President Biden go in his place because he can't be there. And Romney canceled his plans, as I've mentioned, to campaign in Virginia because it's in the storm's path, and instead went with Paul Ryan for events in Ohio, because it wouldn't do them any good to be in Virginia. People are worried about what's going to happen to their homes. And also Romney had a stop for Tuesday in New Hampshire. They had to cancel that too. They had to send out emails at the last second. Because as of now, just to give you an idea, I guess we should talk even more about the storm. The storm is a Cat 1 hurricane. So we're talking about 75-mile-an-hour winds, maybe gusts up to 90 miles an hour. So the governors of a lot of the obvious states that I mentioned that have states of emergency, the New Yorks, the Connecticuts, the New Jerseys, Massachusetts, you know, up and down the eastern seaboard, you got the National Guard on standby because of what could ultimately happen. So the race to vote early will be affected from if the storm continues. And who knows, you know, if the storm continues to Election Day to have an effect because of the aftermath of the storm, it's going to be interesting that, you know, what the resources are the most important thing, getting the resources in place. So voting centers, access to voting centers, that's going to be something that's going to be a worrisome. You think of places where you go and vote. In some of these areas, they're going to have to re-rack that. So in other words, this storm has far-reaching effects in lots and lots of ways, interrupting commerce, interrupting schools, interrupting maybe the election. Not changing, not necessarily completely changing the election, like the election day. If this had happened next week, that would have been interesting, because I would have assumed, well, let's look at this. We cannot have an election when people, when half of the country is possibly underwater. So that would have wreaked real havoc right on election day had we been a week later. So now we have to reroute what we're thinking. I've been taking everyone's temperature and looking for a litmus test and signs as to what you think is going to happen. With this hurricane, which is nothing to mess around with, how much does this really impact the election as far as the results? Let's just say the presidential election. How much will this change what could happen here? Does it hurt the Democrats more, or does it hurt the Republicans more? To be sure, there were some other things that happened over the weekend, by the way, so we don't want to completely ignore them. Like, how about the Giants winning the World Series, sweeping Detroit with a 4-3 win? Not even close. The last game, pretty interesting. The Giants just, Tigers just couldn't get the hits that they needed. The Giants' defense was incredible. Pitching was stellar, and they got the timely hits they needed. So Detroit just could not come through. But a huge, huge, huge World Series victory for the San Francisco Giants. Boy, in a handful of years, two World Series, they've made up for lost time, that's for sure. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283, if you want to weigh in.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. Why Ali-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ali-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ali-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ali-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ali-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ali-C today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it any time you're away from home. To order your Fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional Fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty, thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy-duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135. And get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves. Available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
Here it comes, another cold and flu season. Get ready for it and save now during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't be without powerful natural flu fighters like elderberry power capsules. They support the immune system and they have antiviral properties. Another powerful antiviral is olive leaf capsules, highly recommended by Herbal Healer Academy. Also on sale is Physician Strength Oregacillin, a savior for the lungs. It fights bacteria, virus, and fungus. Our famous four herb capsules are a gentle liver cleanser and can be taken daily. Also featured this winter are the homeopathic detoxes, liver, kidney, lung, lymph, whole body, and brain detox on sale. And remember, as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
In a good way, I mean that. He's Cause of Action's executive director. This time he's been quoted all over the place for a story that just broke. You might have even seen it in Bloomberg News. And it's about the potential fraud at the Chicago Transit Authority. Dan, you super sleuth you. What did you find out about the CTA?
Well, the Chicago Transit Authority, according to an independent auditor who had been assigned to audit them back in 2006, has been over-reporting its vehicle revenue miles for years. And what vehicle revenue miles are is, at least on the Chicago Transit Authority bus routes, there's some miles where you can pick up passengers, and those can be reimbursed by the federal taxpayers. But certain others in which you're not picking up passengers and you're just driving from the last stop back to the depot station, those are what are called deadhead miles. And the federal government doesn't pay for those. Almost a large number of Metropolitan Transit Authority get a formula grant from the Fed that helps cover their expenses and helps reimburse their mileage. But the one thing that you can't reimburse are those deadhead miles. And our independent auditor has reported to us, and we have reported in our report, that the Chicago Transit Authority has knowingly over-reported these miles for years. And we finally got wind that Peter Rogoff, who's the FTA administrator, essentially wrote to the Chicago Transit Authority last year saying, you guys are over-reporting the miles, and this needs to stop. What Cause of Action's question now is, you know, our independent auditor told you guys that this was happening back in 2007. If in 2007 the Chicago Transit Authority knew that it was over-reporting its mileage, then that would seem to us to be a fraud. why isn't the IG investigating? Why isn't the Justice Department looking at this?
Yeah, because those deadhead miles that you're talking about, they figured probably who's looking at that, right? We're all asleep at the wheel. No one's looking at it. Is that what your theory is, that this wasn't going to be uncovered?
Yeah, you know, part of our theory is hey, you know, this is a formula grant program, which means it's a fixed pool, which means that the more we report, the more money we get. So, you know, it should be of no surprise that if you look at the last 10 years, Chicago went from being, you know, the seventh or sixth most funded transit authority to being the second most funded transit authority by the federal government. And it should be no surprise that pattern parallels a pattern in which the Chicago Transit Authority has been increasingly over-reporting its vehicle revenue miles. And from cause of action's perspective, we have lots of questions. You know, it's nice that Peter Rogoff decided to disclose to Bloomberg this letter that he had sent to the Chicago Transit Authority. It would have been nice to disclose that to us, considering we had a FOIA request, which they have not yet responded to. But this is something that cause of action thinks reeks of cronyism, reeks of politicization. I mean, keep in mind just who the players are in this whole kind of charade. You have, starting with the general counsel of the current Department of Transportation, a guy named Robert Rifkin.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise, Robert Rifkin was the general counsel, i.e. chief compliance officer of the Chicago Transit Authority. And who was his boss for at least 3 years there? Well, the chairperson was a woman named Valerie Jarrett, who's President Obama's closest advisor. And look, this doesn't fall on partisan lines only. You know, this is a bipartisan potential cover-up. You have the secretary of the Department of Transportation, Ray LaHood, being someone who doesn't come too far from Chicago. He comes from a district north of Chicago in Illinois. And when he was a member of Congress, he was on both the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee and the Appropriations Committee. And Peter Rogoff, who's the FTA administrator, was himself a congressional staffer on Senator Probst, whose specialization was transportation and infrastructure. So if anyone knows about over-reporting and the risks involved, these people are the exact types of people who would know. And the question remains, you know, if an investigation occurred, was folks like Robert Rifkin recused from it? Were they involved in it? What were the results of the investigation? What were their referrals to the Justice Department? And it seems like the answer is that there's either not going to be any disclosure of this, or there's answers that basically say, we didn't investigate this, even though the Chicago Transit Authority had reason to know that this over-reporting was fraudulent. And from cause of action's perspective, when you're dealing with upwards of $150 million of over-reporting, and at the same time taking away from a pool of funds that should be going to other metropolitan transit authorities, you know, that's the kind of fraud that this administration needs to step up and investigate.
Yeah, I mean, that's our taxpayer money, and as you pointed out, how many other people are getting gypped in other cities because of this pipeline, these connections between Chicago and Washington, right?
Yeah, and you know, this is something where, you know, it appears that the FTA's response to all of this is, look, you know, this is just a mere definitional problem. The CTA didn't do anything intentionally wrong. There's no intentional fraud. And ultimately, you know, they seem to comply by picking up passengers. That's what they should be doing. But what is not seen by any of this is that when the Chicago Transit Authority over-reports these miles and gets more money as a result of that.
Yeah.
This is a fixed pool of money. It's actually a formula grant program that funds this. And so that means that perhaps smaller urban authorities, whether it's in Milwaukee, whether it's in Dallas, or, you know, even Miami, I mean, these metropolitan transit authorities are therefore going to have less access to a pool of funds, which means that, you know, they can't have the expectation that Chicago has, which is we're going to get more money each year. So I'm sure Chicago's employing bureaucrats on the federal taxpayer's dime every year, whereas the other smaller transit authorities may have to be firing certain employees. And that is a direct result of entities like the Chicago Transit Authority engaging in misreporting.
Yeah. You know, I go back to the thing that you said. What I want to know is the timeline. When did the Department of Transportation Inspector General actually dive in and decide to look into this, to investigate this? When? Where's that timeline?
Well, you know, Kate, we do know, we have some indication from our independent auditor, Tom Rubin, and this is a guy who was specifically hired by the Illinois Auditor General to audit the Chicago Transit Authority. He audited their 2006 records. He reported in 2007 that they were over-reporting their mileage. In 2009, he brought this to the attention of the Inspector General. And all indications point to the fact that the Inspector General likely did nothing. Now, what we do know is that in April 27th of last spring, the Inspector General had made some communications to the FTA of, hey, we need to look at the CPA. And that seems to be something that followed the House Oversight Committee basically forwarding Tom Rubin's findings to the DOTOIG. We got those emails. Those emails between the House Oversight Committee staff and the DOT reveal that the DOT said, hey, look, you know, thanks for these findings, but this is a big problem because it's a highly sensitive issue. And what they were implying was our chief compliance officer, i.e. the guy who probably needs to sign off on investigations, was at the Chicago Transit Authority during the time of the potential fraud. So, you know, the idea is that this is probably something where they knew of the potential fraud and were just trying to kick the can long enough to try to avoid transparency or avoid being open and honest to the American taxpayers. But here, where there's now the exposure of these kinds of potential political cover-up, I mean, this is an administration that's going to have to explain, hey, exactly what you said. What was our timeline? When did we know? And why did we delay on this?
Yeah, this is maybe one of the worst things that you and I have talked a lot. We talked about Kathleen Sebelius and what happened with her and the violations of the Hatch Act and a bunch of other things throughout this entire year. And so here we go again, and this is just so bloody blatant. But I have a fear, you know, Dan, that we're not going to see anything come of this. It falls on deaf ears, and I don't understand that, because if you have the numbers, if you look at that, why isn't that, what? Well, I guess I'm answering my own question. It's what you said, the connections. You have to assume it's got to be some of that connection between Chicago and Washington, because why wouldn't they bring it to light?
Yeah, you know, Kate, folks like you and me, we think $150 million is a lot of money.
It's a lot.
We think a lot of jobs could be created with that. You know, for these federal bureaucrats who sit in, air-conditioned offices completely cut off from the rest of the world all day, they have no notion of what is a lot of money. And to them, $150 million is just a drop in the can when you're talking about $880 billion of stimulus dollars. So, you know, these people just don't get it, and they don't get what most American taxpayers get, and that is stop wasting our money. And I think that, look, you know, this is something where, you know, you have such kind of indicia of potential cover-up here. The fact that this is in the president's backyard of Chicago, the fact that this is Ray LaHood, who is a Republican appointed by the president, you know, which in itself is, you know, we think of other kinds of Republicans who the president tried to advance, and they just couldn't do it. They were too, you know, tied to their principles. But Ray LaHood is here running the Department of Transportation. He comes from Illinois. You know, he was on the kinds of committees that helped appropriate money to the Chicago Transit Authority. And it's just, you have that mixed with Robert Rifkin and Valerie Jarrett and Peter Rogoff being a appropriation staffer on the Senate side. I mean, this is something that, you know, reeks of potential cover-up and cronyism. And it's something that needs to be exposed, because we got to know, look, if this is a president who's going to, you know, be our president for another 4 years, we want to make sure that when there are identifications of fraud and taxpayer dollars, these are things that get fixed.
Yep, I agree with you. Dan Epstein, Cause of Actions Executive Director, thanks. We'll keep our eye on that and see if anything comes of it. But we appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you again down the line.
Yep, thanks for having me. Take care.
Thanks, Dan. Bye-bye. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment
frequent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Would it save you time to get the best quality water filters and the best quality storable foods from one company? You bet it would, and now you can at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Big Berkey water filter products and great-tasting, long-lasting, storable, wise foods are both now available on one website, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Wise foods, ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches and come with a 25-year shelf life. Big Berkey water filters are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. Combine Berkey water filters with Wise foods for an unbeatable preparedness combination. Get free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, waterfilters.com. Or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or go to BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com.
This is your call to action. Will you survive?
Learn how to survive at the biggest preparedness expo in the USA.
The Get Prepared Expo.
Over 175 seminars and exhibits. Survival medicine, survival gardening, growing heirloom seeds,
negotiating for your life,
surviving violent climate change, radiation survival, economic collapse,
disease prevention,
raising bees, rabbits, and chickens for food,
defending your home and family,
surviving tornadoes,
water filtration and purification,
build buckets of storable food.
Ask yourself,
are you prepared for solar storms, nuclear meltdown, dollar collapse, skyrocketing food and fuel prices, earthquakes, tornadoes?
Where is your plan?
Get Prepared Expo, Saturday and Sunday, November 3rd and 4th, Ozark Empire Fairgrounds,
Springfield, Missouri.
Meet USA Prepares Vincent Finelli, Dr. Norman Shealy, Dr. Joel Wallach, Matt Stein, The Freeze-Dry Guy, Missouri Storm Shelters, Jeff and Karen Olson,
and over 50 more instructors.
$8 one-day and $15 weekend passes available online now. GetPreparedExpo.com.
Will you survive?
GetPreparedExpo.com.
Evacuations, federal government shutdowns, Hurricane Sandy nearing the East Coast could be the largest storm to hit the United States in a very, very long time. Winds, battering kinds of winds, flooding, even heavy snow in some areas. 66 people, because now the total is up to 66 people, have already died as a result of Sandy, which has gone through Haiti and the Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico and all of those areas, some of those areas in the Caribbean, now hitting the United States and getting ready to pack a punch. If you look at any of the satellite images and radar, it's the blueprints there. Unless something dramatic should happen, this path is absolutely on the storm. Tens of millions of East Coast folks are scrambling and did scramble over the weekend to prepare for this storm and what it could possibly do to Washington, Philadelphia, New Jersey, New York, Boston, the effects that could be felt. Could be the largest storm to, and I just saw this from the NOAA folks. It could be the largest storm to hit the United States. Boy, that's scary when they release something like that, isn't it? Largest storm. The stock exchange done. They've closed the trading floor for the first time since Hurricane Gloria in 1985. All stocks listed on the exchange trade electronically. That's it. President Obama asked people to heed the orders of whatever the governors were saying and what the locals were saying to protect themselves from Sandy, because sometimes people don't listen to that. They decide they're going to take pictures, get silly, and then it ends in disaster. The casinos in New Jersey closed. Broadway theaters preparing to close. My family just was in New York on Saturday, and they were talking about that. They were at a Broadway show, the Matthew Broderick show, and they were saying on the stage, leaving the stage, that they were closing for the next day. They were closing for at least the foreseeable couple of days, perhaps. Airlines halted, 8,000 airlines, especially in the New York, New Jersey, Philly area, all that. And store shelves barren because people ran out to get as much as they could to prepare for this. And the concern is the low-lying areas and what can happen, what could happen there, what could happen with the floods. That's the scary, scary part of this. Rail service shut down. Shut down. Forget flying in and out of, as I already said, of many of these areas. West Virginia to Kentucky, they're dealing with snowstorm. They're already getting snow, and the so-called superstorm could cause up to 12 inches of rain in some places. 12 inches of rain is, you know, absolutely crazy. So the damage could be catastrophic. My, oh, my. Hurricane force winds, 175 miles an hour from the center of the storm. And then, of course, it gets weaker as it goes out from there. And Sandy is moving northeast over the Atlantic parallel to the U.S. coast at about 15 miles an hour. 15 miles an hour. So is this hype? Or is this hype, or is there more to this? I think it might be, there might be more bite to this. I think this is not just pure hype. If it is, then everybody gets a day off from work in the East, pretty much. And kids, the schools are closed, so 2 million school children are home from school, too, as well. If you're feeling the effects of this, please call 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283, and weigh in. We certainly want to hear from you. Got a ton of email about this very thing, so without further ado, let's go to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Ah, thank you very much. All right, this one from Alan, who says, "Hello, Ms. Delaney. I've been listening to your offerings for quite some time. I will tell you that I live in Connecticut, and in Connecticut, pretty much south, north, and everywhere in between, even if it's not a suburb projected to get particularly hit by this hurricane, because you know how that is, even in a small state, everybody is taking it seriously. Remember, we were hit the hardest by Irene. The flooding, the power outages were terrible for so many of us. Nobody is taking this thing lightly in the state of Connecticut. I can tell you I've seen more boarded up homes in some nice areas than I've ever seen in my entire life." Wow. All right, thanks for that update. We also have this one here from Bob, who's listening to us. I think this is a lot of people I haven't heard from in the past. Bob listening to us in Vermont. Kate, they're not talking about this quite as much in Vermont, but trust me, we are right there on the tail edge of this sucker, and it looks to be pretty, pretty nasty. I think it's going to affect the elections, especially if it turns out to be a giant storm, because if it's a giant storm, then how many people who are trying to recover and pick up their lives are going to be concerned about voting, even if they're the kind of person that has voted their whole lives? Don't you think this would disrupt them from doing that? You know what it would be like to lose your house to a flood? Can you imagine scrambling around and trying to figure that out? No, I cannot imagine how awful that would be, trying to run around and get the insurance person out. First of all, you're trying to find hotel space. Remember, that was the big problem in Connecticut the last time around, because, and in the other areas, because the hotels get booked up Of course, they get booked up. Even if they're having problems, you think of the height of some of these hotels, some of these bigger hotels. So people, that's what people are doing. They're leaving and they're going to other areas. And naturally, that's exactly what happens. You know, there's no way to predict this thing other than to look at the trackers and the weather forecast and all that stuff. And it certainly looks to be pretty darn bad. This extreme weather, I don't think that this superstorm is a joke. I mean, I think that this is real. We've already seen the waves from, we've already seen North Carolina and how terrible some of those shoreline areas were hit by the waves where it was coming into the beachfront properties. So I don't think with the turn where it is now that this thing dissipates. It doesn't seem likely. I mean, it would be terrific if it did, trust me. I'm not looking for it to slam into the East Coast, particularly with so much of my family, in fact, all of my family, for the most part, in that area, and lots of friends, and, of course, many of the listeners. We want you to be safe, we don't want you to be in the wake of this thing right there in the way. When you're talking about floods, when you're talking about power lines going down and all that, just trying to survive it, that's pretty tough. And then when everybody scrambles, you know, is this, you know, what kind of storm is this going to be? That's the thing. When you're talking about big waves, you're talking about the wires, the wind, that's the key. The wind, you know, the wind is really the thing. The wind is where it gets much, much more dangerous, much, much, much more dangerous. And so I know that people are already saying that they're seeing the high winds. All right, here's another one from, this one is from Andro. And Andro says, hello, America. Tonight, I am kind of in the Atlantic City area, and it is like a ghost town. You think of the boardwalk, and you mentioned the casinos being closed, and the casinos are closed. It's very strange to see an empty boardwalk, except for people taking pictures here and there. Very, very worried about the waves lapping across the boardwalk and actually even hitting some of the stores and the casino area. Yeah, Halloween canceled. It is definitely no treat. It's more of a trick, if you ask me.
Get any worse? Take a look around you, Alan. We're at the threshold of hell.
When you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Is reason to celebrate. Cash in on October deals during the 25th anniversary of Emergency Essentials. Going on now, save 26% off clarified butter, 24% off honey oat granola, and save 50% off a kitchen fire extinguisher. A must for any kitchen emergency. Stock your car with a Roadwise Emergency 72-hour kit, only $34.99 at BePrepared.com. New this month, two varieties of Mountain House just-in-case buckets. Your favorite Mountain House pouches packed in a convenient bucket. Find a super deal this month only for the Goal Zero Lighthouse LED Lantern and Nomad 7 Solar Panel. Iosat Potassium Iodide tablets are on sale. And as always, check out the Emergency Essentials group specials now through October 31st. Call 800-999-1863 for exceptional customer service and Emergency Essentials low price guarantee. That's 800-999-1863. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or beprepared.com.